What did Enoch do that allowed him to have such an incredible walk with God? He walked with God in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. What did Enoch do that allowed him to have such an incredible walk with God? Beloved, there's only one answer to this question, and that is, beloved, he walked with God in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus taught us in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 that the only way to know God is through the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, I won't be able to send you the promise, the Holy Spirit, who will take of me and disclose it to you. Eye is not seen and ear is not heard, neither has it ever entered into the heart of man. The things that God has for us, and these things, beloved, he reveals to us by his Spirit. And you and I are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. What we are doing in this series, beloved, entitled, An Enoch Walked with God, is we're seeking to develop a greater awareness, humility, and dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Beloved, to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit is to walk in humility. To be dependent upon the Holy Spirit is to walk under God's authority. Remember, Yeshua said, I do nothing by my own initiative. I only do what the Father inside me is doing. I only do what the Father shows me. Yeshua walked in total dependency on the Father through the Spirit of God. Yeshua was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with gladness to destroy the works of the devil, beloved, and to carry out the fullness of his Father's mission. You and I, beloved, are in this world even as he was. As he was in this world, so also now are we. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, beloved, and his whole life was lived in dependency upon the Holy Spirit. But in our culture today, as I've been teaching over the last several broadcasts, you and I are connected to a religion rather than to a relationship. We're connected to some type of religious form, many of us, rather than to the Holy Spirit. And some of you need courage. You need courage to stop caring what other people think about you. You need the confidence to stop always looking for advice from other people. And instead, what we need to do is to turn to the Holy Spirit to let him lead us and guide us. Because Yeshua said that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. So if we want to walk with God as Enoch walked with God, if we want to walk with God and ascend, beloved, in the Spirit as Enoch did, we need to learn, beloved, how to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Some of you, every time you have a problem, every time you need an answer, rather than looking to the Lord and waiting on him in dependency and expectancy for him to reveal an answer to you by the Holy Spirit, you don't even think of that. Immediately what you do instead is you begin to call people up on the phone. You begin to rely on the human and the natural and the arm of the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. Remember, Israel and their exploits, whenever they depended totally on the Lord, they would go into war and they would supernaturally win, even when it made no logical sense. But when they began to drift, beloved, just from depending upon the Lord and depending on his Spirit, when they began to drift from that approach to develop alliances and allegiances with other armies that would fight with them so they could be more powerful in the flesh than their enemy, then they would begin to lose because they were depending upon the arm of the flesh rather than the Lord. Remember, the Lord said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And we sing a song in Hebrew. The Hebrew word for God's Spirit is Ruach. Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, the Hebrew word for spirit. It means breath, God's breath. And so we sing a simple song in Hebrew. Oftentimes we go, Ruach, 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 Ruach. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We're talking, beloved, about walking with God. There's only one way to do that. It's through the leading of God's Spirit. God said to Paul in the book of Romans this, all that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So how are the sons of God living? They're being led, beloved, by the Spirit of God. I want to ask you, what are you being led by? And what are you depending on? Is it a religious tradition? Is it the tradition of your church or your upbringing or your culture? Or are you looking, beloved, for a rhema, a living word from the Spirit of God? God will direct your life. You see, if we're going to be led by God, we're going to need to develop intimacy with them through the Spirit. See, the Bible tells us all the foundational doctrines of Christian living, the essentials of faith, that Jesus is the Messiah, that He died for our sins, that He rose again. The Bible is the rule of life for faith and for practice. But beloved, the Scripture doesn't tell you who to marry, what job to take, how to approach this particular problem. But you know what? God can lead us in all these things. We want to walk with God like Enoch. And the only way to do that, beloved, is to learn how to be led by His Spirit. There are two spirits, beloved, fundamentally that are at work in our universe. There's God's Spirit, beloved, and there are the spirits that are associated with the realm of darkness. Of course, God's Word is very clear about this. In the book of John chapter 1, verse 5, the Scripture says concerning Jesus, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it goes on to describe Jesus, how His life was the light of men. And then the Word says, "And the light shines in the darkness." Get the two, light and darkness, John 1, 5. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never been able to," the King James reads, "extinguish it." Some translations read, "comprehend it." There's a light, beloved, that's shining. That's the light of Jesus through His Spirit. And there's a darkness that we live in this world. Many people, beloved, because they don't have revelation of the reality of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of darkness, the realm of darkness that encircles this world, they're walking in a constant state of confusion and a lack of clarity as to how to find and lay a hold of Jesus. Many people say they believe in God, for example, but they say they don't believe in a devil. Listen, beloved, if you believe the Word of God, not only is God real, the devil's real too. Jesus came to defeat the works of the devil, right? Jesus was constantly doing battle against the works of the evil one. And so the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas. And that's when Judas made the decision that he was going to finally be responsible for betraying Jesus and turning Him over to be crucified. Beloved, we need to get discernment that we're being led by the Spirit of God, and also get discernment on the fact that the enemy is also trying to deceive us and confuse us and put temptation and distraction in our life. If we don't have revelation of both the Spirit of God and the realm of darkness, we're going to walk in isolation, because we're going to be walking in confusion and separateness from fellowship with God. That's what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, that we should put on the whole armor of God to be able to withstand, beloved, the attacks of the enemy, of the evil one. We need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God, and the only way that we're going to be able to be led by the Spirit of God is if we also come to recognize there's an enemy that speaks to us. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and a stranger's voice they won't follow." But many of us, beloved, are just, I don't mean this offensively, but we're like stupid. We just don't understand. We don't understand what's God and what's not God. But the Bible says if we'll make it our business to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice and prove the Holy Spirit's voice, we're going to get discernment, and we're going to be able to discern what's coming from God and what's not coming from God. Now, we're all growing in this. I don't hear from God perfectly all the time. Don't misunderstand, but I'm growing in my ability to discern the Lord. I'm growing in my ability, as many of you are, in our ability to discern this is God and this is not God. There's been times in my life, beloved, especially when the Lord first began to reveal Himself supernaturally to me, I made this mistake. I said, "You know what? I'm hearing from God." And because I knew that I was hearing from God, and I was hearing from God, but I made the mistake in thinking that because I was hearing from God, I made the mistake into thinking that everything that I was hearing was from God. And God had to deliver me to recognize that, no, not everything is me. Yes, you're hearing from me, but it's not all me. And he taught me, beloved, how to separate the two and to distinguish between the two. And he wants to do the same thing with you. But we need to understand, beloved, we're living in a spiritual universe. Our fight, the scripture says in Ephesians 6, it's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and forces of spiritual wickedness in the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. This is a spiritual place, beloved. And if we're going to ascend into the heavenly places in the spirit, we're going to need to learn the reality of the spiritual nature of our life and learn how to do battle against, beloved, the enemy and the evil one. Now, if you think about the natural, because the natural is always a symbol of the supernatural. Think about the natural. We have the earth, and we have these forces that surround the earth and the natural that we can't see, but nevertheless, they're having influence on the earth, right? Gravity has influence on the earth and affects the way the objects on the earth and around the earth operate, right? Gravity is something that is affecting the earth, its atmosphere, and those that are on the earth, but we can't see gravity. Ultraviolet rays affect us. We can't see ultraviolet rays. In the very negative sense, we have pollution. We can't always see pollution, but it affects us. We've got radio waves and all types of other media waves, technological advancements and ways around the world that are affecting things. We just found out that cell phones are possibly emitting some type of radiation. I don't know what it is scientifically, but that it's possibly cancer causing. So if there's all these invisible things on the earth in the natural that are affecting man, some for good, some for bad, why should we find it hard to believe that there are also invisible spiritual realities that are on the earth that are having influence on man? We need to come out of the natural. We need to stop thinking with a Western mind, only tying into what we can see and what we can feel and what we can understand logically. And we need to take a hold of God's word. We need to seize God's word, beloved, and stop letting the voice of the enemy in. We need to learn, beloved, how to be led by the Spirit of God, even, hallelujah, as Enoch was. Now, this reality, beloved, of you and I coming into a dimension that we could truly walk empowered with God, as Enoch did, this came about for all flesh, beloved, at Passover and Pentecost. Remember, this is a very Jewish thing. All the covenants that you are enjoying today as a believer are covenants, beloved, that God originally made with Israel, that you as a Gentile now have been grafted into. You see, the Lord said to Israel through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, "Days are coming, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with them when I led them out of Egypt by the hand, saith the Lord, that covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. But behold, saith the Lord, I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I'll put my spirit within them. I'll write my law on their hearts, and they will follow me and will walk together." Beloved, that covenant originally came to pass in the first sense at Passover when Jesus died for our sins. That was the first foundational completion of the new covenant that was promised in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. The first part of the new covenant, its accomplishment, was when Jesus died on the cross, satisfying God's requirement for the penalty of your sin and my sin once, now, and forever. The second fulfillment of the new covenant, beloved, came on the next Jewish holiday that I want to speak of now, Shavuot, which is translated in Greek as Pentecost, when the disciples in Acts 2 were in the upper room. And now that their sins had been atoned for, Yeshua had ascended to heaven. He sent forth his Spirit. So the two foundational elements, beloved, that allow us now to walk with God, all mankind, not just Enoch, not just David, not just Daniel, not just Abraham, not just Paul or Peter, but you and I today can have just as much are because of Jesus' death on the cross and the sending forth of his Spirit, beloved, at Shavuot or Pentecost. And now that he's done that, we should expect, beloved, to walk with God in such an exciting way, because Jesus said, "If you believe in me, greater works than I do will you do." There's come to be something so substantial, Jesus said, about our walk with him and about the reality of it. He described it in John 7 as rivers of living water, hallelujah, that would flow from our innermost being. Now, I want to encourage you. If you have never experienced the reality of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life in a way that you have encountered him and you know you have, I want to pray right now. Father God, for these that have been listening to this broadcast and are listening right now, that have never experienced you in such a way, Father God, that they know that you're real, that you're alive. I ask you, Father, to speak to them right now with razor sharpness, God, that they'll know, whoa, God is right here with me. And knowing that, Father God, they might become very sensitive to your spirit, that it might affect all their decisions, Father God, the way that they're living, and that every decision, Father God, that flows and issues from their heart and mind now would be a decision, Father, for you to follow you, to grow in intimacy with you, that they could ascend, Father, in you, in the Spirit, and walk with you, Father, even, hallelujah, as Enoch did. Amen, amen. I felt an anointing on that. I know somebody's getting touched right now. Well, as we continue on, I want to talk about the fact that I spoke on last week's broadcast that there's a dimension that we need to be aware of. You see, for many of us, there's a fight that's going on. God is in us. We've received Yeshua. And when we received Yeshua, the Father, the Son came into us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He abides in us. He's in us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's inside. The scripture says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, then you don't belong to Him. There is a real scientific reality that God's Spirit is in us. He abides in us. But the problem is, even though God's Spirit is in us, many of us, most of us, are not consciously trying, listen now, to all the time abide in Him. See, in order for this union of walking with God to come to pass, not only is it a reality that the Lord abides in us, but the reality also must become, Yadid, beloved one, that we are abiding in Him. Now, I spoke on last week's broadcast, very important, that a lot of the technology that's coming out right now, I believe, is a trap of the enemy to take us outside of abiding in ourselves where Yeshua is. Yeshua is in us. Yeshua said, the kingdom of God is neither here or there. Behold, He said, the kingdom of God is within you. But all this technology today, beloved, that we're getting connected to with all these smartphones and the gizmos and the gadgets that we're waking up in the morning and the first thing that we're doing is going for our smartphones and we can't live without it and we're constantly, we're with other people, but rather than being able to have a relationship with the people that are right in front of us in the flesh, instead we're too focused on the technology today. It's the enemy's way, beloved, of taking us into the darkness. He's taking us outside of ourselves, outside of relationship, into the darkness. And I want to say it again. I spoke about it a lot last week. If you are addicted to your smartphone, if you are addicted to the computer, if you are addicted to the television, if you are addicted to your emails, I'm telling you, you have a decision to make. Get rid of it. I want you to know that my children said, Dad, you need to get a droid. You need to get a smartphone because it'll be really helpful. You'll be able to access all your emails. I travel a lot. And finally, about, close to a year ago, my phone broke down. So I said, okay, I'll get one. So I went and got one. Maybe it was a little less than a year ago. So I got this smartphone, all my emails and everything coming up on there. I'm telling you what, beloved, in a very short amount of time, there was an addictive relationship that began to develop in me. The first thing in the morning, the first thing I'd want to do, what's going on in my cell phone? Who's emailing me? Constantly looking. I knew it was taking me away from my goal. I knew it was pulling me away from Jesus. I knew it was unhealthy. I knew it was bringing me into a place that I didn't want to be. It was bringing me into the superficial. It was drawing me into the darkness. It was addictive, and I could sense it going on. So when I went to Israel recently, I had to get rid of my smartphone because of the fact that the smartphone was constantly accessing the internet and I would constantly be being charged for the data it was accessing. So I said, I don't want to bring this thing to Israel because it's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars with all the data that it's constantly going to be downloading that I don't want it to do, but there was no way to turn it off. So what I did was I just turned that phone off and just bought a regular phone, just a simple $60 phone. All you do is, it's made for making a phone call and receiving a phone call. That's it. You know what? When I got back from Israel, you know what I did? I said, I'm not going back to the smartphone because that was hurting me in my walk with God. I don't need to constantly be checking every email. I don't need to be connected to that thing all day long. I don't need to be looking to that thing all day long. I don't need to be wondering who's texting me, who's emailing me. I need peace of mind. I need to be able to have the peace of mind to develop my walk with Jesus. And so I got rid of it and went back to my regular phone. And for some of you, perhaps that's what you need to do. Who will you put first? Your smartphone, beloved, or developing intimacy with Jesus? Jesus, beloved, is in us. And if we're going to abide in Him, even as He abides in us, we're going to have to be careful that we don't get connected to the outer world, because all that's in the outer world, beloved, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, all that draws us out of ourselves, and that's where God is, He's in us, beloved, it brings us into captivity. And I believe, beloved, that what's going to happen is that the devil is going to use all the technology that he has drawn people out of themselves into connection with, that same technology that drew them out of themselves to get connected to. I believe the devil is going to use that same technology to program their mind and prepare the world for the reception of the anti-Messiah. Because we're either going to be regenerated and have the thoughts of God through the Holy Spirit within us, or we're going to have the mind of the world. And I believe the devil is subtly drawing people out of the Lord, out of themselves, out of the Holy Spirit, into the connection with all the technology. And once he's got them connected, then he's going to program their minds with that same technology, telling them what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's correct, what's not correct. The people are going to lose their discernment, beloved, calling right wrong and wrong right. We already see that happening, beloved, in many ways, even in the church. Well, we're going to continue, beloved, this study on as Enoch walked with God, Lord willing, next week. I take this very seriously. Beloved, our relationship is alive with Jesus. It's real, beloved. It's not just about reading history. It's not just about what the Lord did for the patriarchs. It's about what God, who is alive right now, is doing, hallelujah, for you and I today. Jesus is still speaking, beloved. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus wants to make himself real and known to you. He wants the fire of your love for him to increase. He wants you to become satisfied, beloved, in your walk with him. But I want to ask you the question, and he's asking you the question, will you put him first? Beloved, by the grace of God, I've remained faithful to the truth. Sometimes the truth offends people, so this may offend you a little bit. I don't mean it to, but ask yourself, is what Rabbi Schneider is saying true? In the culture today that's absorbing so much YouTube content, which we're investing a lot in because we realize it's where the culture is going, but in the culture of those that are absorbing a lot of content from YouTube, not many people that are being blessed by the content are responding to financially bless those that are blessing them. You see, years ago when you attended a church and the gospel was being preached, the people that were attending the church, they responded to the good news of the gospel to honor God with their finances through their offerings and their tithes. But today what we're finding is many people are receiving truth through YouTube, but unfortunately, as people go from YouTube to YouTube, they don't ever think about, is there something that they should be doing to respond financially? And the truth is, beloved, it cost us a lot of money to produce the content that we're giving out to you. I mean, I have a staff, we've got a crew, we've got producers, we've got editors. If you believe in me and you're being blessed by the message that we're sharing, would you support us financially? In doing so, you'll first of all be honoring God, which is the most important thing, because he wants us to honor him with our tithes and offerings. Secondly, you'll allow us to keep on giving this content to the world so the good news of Messiah can be preached around the globe. Just go ahead and hit the link in your description to give, or if you prefer, you can go to our website, discoveringthejewishjesus.com.